We hear again from the Gospel text of John 2. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. In the name of Jesus. Who is Jesus to you or me? Who is Jesus to the church? We could quickly say some things. He's God the Son. He's the incarnate one, God in the flesh. We could quickly say that he's our Lord, our Savior. He's the crucified one, the resurrected one. And all of that would, of course, be true. In our text today, we see where Jesus gives signs and miracles to show the sinner who he is to the sinner. That Almighty God, after all, comes in the flesh is not yet good news to the sinner. God might be coming in the flesh only to confront, only to judge the sinner, to condemn. Really, if you're a sinner, the closer God comes to you, the more frightening it is. After all, it would be as if you're driving 80 miles an hour in a 35 zone. You're not really concerned with the police officer having coffee far away on the other side of the river. But if the same officer is closer, just around the corner, you're plenty frightened by him as you speed down the road. That God comes in the flesh, that he comes close to you, is not yet good news. Really, we should be frightened. He's holy, we're not. Jesus uses miracles to show us who he is to the sinner. The miracle, let's say, of leprosy turned to healthy skin. Jesus is the one bringing health and life. The miracle of a deaf man made to hear. Jesus is the one bringing the word to bestow all the gifts of God. The miracle of a child raised up from the dead. Jesus is the one who does not desire the sinner to die, but who brings the defeat of death. Jesus uses miracles to show, to reveal who he is to the sinner. And the first of his miracles, John tells us, is Jesus turning water into wine at Cana. So what is Jesus revealing to the sinner, to us? That he has power over the elements? That he can change the molecules of a liquid? That reveals not much to us. Not much, really, except that he's true God with all power. But to the sinner, that's not really good news. Not yet, anyway. It's the most frightening news of all. As the speeder on the road doesn't want to be confronted by the police officer, the sinner has no desire to be confronted by holy God. Maybe better if God would just make himself distant, far removed, like the police officer on the other side of the river. But John tells us that in changing this water into wine, Jesus is giving his first miracle, the first of his signs. And the word that John uses here for first is not the word of the number. It's not numerical. It's the word meaning the first of something and the sense of the source of something, the origin, the font. It's that thing from which all the rest originates and are to be understood. So for Jesus to be turning water into wine as the first or the origin of all his other signs and miracles is that we are to understand all the other works that he does in the light of this one. They're flowing from this one. Jesus turns water into wine. What does that give us to know of this Lord? It gives us to know, obviously, that he has all power, but to the sinner, that's not yet good news. At the same time, though, that Jesus is doing this, in that generation, the wedding wine was supplied by the groom. That's why the master of the feast, when he tasted the new wine, called to the groom and said, Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now. John 2:10. The master of the feast said that to the groom because everyone knows that the one supplying the wine at a wedding is the groom of that wedding. So what is Jesus doing here when he turns water to wine? He's revealing himself as the groom. Not the groom of that marriage, of course. That marriage belonged to that particular bride and groom being married on that particular day in Cana. But Jesus is the groom proclaimed by the prophets. Isaiah 62:5. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Our Savior God reveals himself to be as a young man marrying a bride and rejoicing over her. Our Savior God wants to say to the sinner, I am your groom. I want to be your husband. I want to love you and cherish you as a new groom loves and cherishes his bride on the day of the wedding feast. Our Savior God gathers sinners together by his gospel. He calls them to himself by his gospel. And he takes the sinners, you and me and our fellow sinners, and he names us together as his bride. We are not his bride, each of us on our own, each of us separate, but he announces us as his bride as he binds us together with one another in the oneness of his church. Our Savior God has his bride. It is the church. Jesus, in making the wine, announces himself to be the groom, for the groom supplies the wine. He announces himself to be the Savior God, who is gathering his bride to himself and publicly presenting her, the church, in all her splendor, as he loves and cherishes her, cleansing her with his own blood. So John tells us that this is the first of Jesus' signs. It is the font or source by which we are to understand Jesus' following works. So when we see Jesus cleansing a leper, this is not him just showing his power, it is rather the groom gathering that leper into his bride, the church. When we see Jesus speaking kindness to the woman at the well, this is the groom gathering her into his bride, the church. When we see Jesus rebuking Peter, when Peter had told him not to go to the cross, Jesus is the groom gathering Peter into his bride, the church. When we hear Jesus speaking forgiveness to us, when we're despairing in our sin, Jesus is our groom gathering us into his bride, the church. When we hear the gospel proclaiming that our lives depend upon no worthiness or improvement of our own, but upon Jesus justifying us by his word, this is Jesus making us his bride. And when we see a fellow Christian in doubt, and we speak the comforting word of gospel to him or her, when we are with a brother or sister in Christ, and we remind them that in affliction they belong to the Lord and his gospel, when we are drawn into speaking the encouragement of the gospel to someone in need, there we find Jesus using even our voices to gather his bride to himself. So we look at Jesus making the water into wine, and in that we see not Jesus trying to show us all the power that he has. He can do that with fire and brimstone. Of course he has power. He's true God, God incarnate, God in the flesh. Power is not the big deal for him. The big deal is coming in the flesh to suffer. So we see something much more wonderful. We see the Lord announcing himself to be the groom who will die for our sins and gather us into his church and will then cleanse his church with his own blood to present his church as his bride with no spot or wrinkle. And then always we rejoice, for he has gathered us to his service to receive his gifts. He has gathered us so that we are as a bride rejoicing at the wedding feast. In the name of Jesus, amen.